Welcome to Money Talk with Tiff, a podcast where we discuss everything money, from tips and tricks to current events. Follow me on my journey to become debt-free and meet other cool people along the way. I am your host, Tiffany Grant. Now let's talk money. All right. So, hey, everyone. So this episode is actually a guest episode. So I have Rita Bautista on the line, and she is the host and creator of the Empowerment and All That podcast, which is a podcast dedicated to sharing empowering tips and motivational stories from a diverse group of women from all walks of life. I'm super excited to have Rita on because she also has been paying off debt and increasing her credit score. So I wanted to have her on to tell her story a little bit. So Rita, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for having me on your show today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for coming. I'm super excited because you are my first guest. So it's exciting times. So I know a little bit about your story. So you had $15,000 in credit card debt, and you used the snowball method to go ahead and tackle that. If you could give us just a little bit of like what happened, like what was the turning point for you where you were like, okay, enough is enough?
Yeah. So like most people, when you're getting in debt, it's really easy. you know, you aren't necessarily looking at what's going on, at least for some of us who, like for me, I know for sure, and my mom's probably going to kill me, but I wasn't really taught financial literacy. My mother was always extremely great at doing things, but she never wasn't really good at teaching how to actually execute and not get yourself in debt. And so, you know, I got my, not my first credit card, but probably when I was in my like mid-20s, I got a credit card, and then the second one, and then the third one. And I had really decent credit at the time. It wasn't bad at all, and I was just getting approved left and right. So I was like, okay, no big deal, like, you know, I can pay this off. Wrong. So I started stacking up, thinking like, yeah, if I get it now, it's not going to be a big deal, I can just pay it off. And truthfully, that's kind of how I got into this mountain of debt without even blinking an eye. Because the truth is when you're not actually actively engaged in what you're spending and looking at the money and the dollars that are going out versus, you know, the dollars that are coming in, it's easy to amass a huge quantity of debt without even knowing, you know. And I'm one of those student loaners too, where, you know, I'm still tackling student loans, and that's going to be something that I'm working on now to, you know, to take away and not have to worry about as much. But, you know, the percentage on the student loans isn't that high versus the percentage of a credit card. When you have mediocre credit, you're looking at maybe 15% at your lowest and 25 at your highest percent. And some credit cards are like highway robbery, where they're like 33% if you have zero credit whatsoever, or if you've had really poor credit. So yeah, that's kind of how that happened. Little things continued, you know, growing. I just graduated from college, and, you know, I didn't really have that much money. Like, you know, everybody thinks you graduate from college, you're going to automatically get this high paying job. Not true. So, you know, here I am with this like $32,000 a year job trying to float things back and forth. And it just wasn't working out. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just put it on my credit card. No big deal. You know, I can pay it later, without realizing that interest charges were going up and what looked like something that I could keep under control, which was like $5,000, turned into 10, turned into 15. And I was just like looking at this mound of credit cards that I had just like maxed out. And it was the scariest feeling in the world, because you feel like you're pinned up against the wall and everybody can see your credit score on your face. It's really scary.
Oh yeah. And see, that's why people are so afraid to talk about their finances. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate your openness and honesty, because, you know, this is a very difficult topic for people. And especially when, you know, there's credit cards that are pushing credit card companies that are pushing credit cards down your neck from the time you're in school. I mean, you're barely an adult by then. So you really don't know what you're getting yourself into until it's too late. So I appreciate you sharing your story because, you know, and I promise I didn't pay her, but she says exactly what I preach about. About knowing how your money flows.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the biggest fears for everyone is like, oh my God. Well, I think truthfully, it's a mindset, right? Because people take being in debt as a negative. It is technically a negative because yes, you are in negative dollars, but essentially, it's not a bad thing. You can get out of it. It's not a forever hole that you're never going to see the end of, you know, and there are people who, if the situation just gets so horrible, there are options of, you know, filing bankruptcy and starting all over again. I think one of the biggest problems for people is they're afraid of being seen starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it's such a terrible thing that we have to like stigmatize people who don't have good credit or who are just starting out or, you know, are refreshing their lives all over again or have gone through divorces where, you know, once the split happens, then their credit drives down. I mean, you see this all over the board. And I think because now I'm in my 30s, I've seen so many things at this point where I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine. You can, you know, in a year, you can get yourself right back up again, you know, because I'm like, oh, I've already done this. Like I can easily, you know, share the wealth. And I'm big on sharing knowledge with people who are undereducated on any area that I've already had this experience in. Because, you know, we're here for a short period of time in our lives. So why not share the knowledge that you've been able to gain, you know, through the ups and the downs. So, yeah.
Exactly. You know, our struggles is somebody else's lesson. So that's why, you know, there's somebody out there listening to this who's a college student that's like, I just got my first credit card and I don't want to end up like Rita.
Throw it away. Throw it away.
Exactly. So another part of your story, you took your credit score from 540 to 750 in less than a year. That is phenomenal. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So was that all from the credit card debt, just getting that paid off? Or?
Yes, it was a lot. There were a lot of things. You know, I think a lot of people, like I said, feel as though like all these derogatory marks on their credits, on their credit report are just terrible. They'll never go away. It's this massive scarlet letter. But truthfully, within a year, if you do things right and you're able to really get yourself on a schedule, you can see a huge significant difference in your credit score. I think one of the biggest things that I always tell everybody, like, pull your credit report from all three, you know, Experian, TransUnion, and what's the third one?
Experian.
Yeah, Experian.
And Equifax. There we go.
Equifax. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, y'all. But yeah, you know, you pull your credit report from all three of these companies. You get it for free once a year from all of them. And it'll tell you every single thing that's on your credit report. And what's interesting is that like a lot of people don't realize this is how you can actually find out if somebody's using your credit or anything, right? And how many people actually pull their credit report unless they're actually going to buy a car or a house or get a credit card or whatever, you know, like that's the only time you're really pulling your credit card. But for me, I was like, well, if I'm going to get serious about this, I need to know exactly what's happening in general. Whether if it's just me, or there are other things that are going on or things that are adding up. And so, you know, I started to do a little research and the first thing I agreed to was not pulling any other credit at all. Cause every hard inquiry, you know, dings your credit and your credit score drops. So I was like, no more pulling credit for at least the next 2 years. So that was the first thing I said. Well, actually, let me rewind. The first thing I said was, I'm going to get out of this. This is going to be okay. I had to admit to myself that I had a little bit of a spending problem. Mm-hmm. And from that point, I was like, this isn't going to be me anymore. Just because that's who I was yesterday doesn't mean that I'm going to wake up today. Now I have to do the hard work to get out of this place that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So I pulled out my credit reports and I compared them all to make sure that all the things were accurate. And some of the things you can get removed, like if there's like a whole bunch of addresses that you have, you can dispute charges that aren't yours. And I'm not saying dispute the charges that are yours because that's illegal. But if there are charges that are on your report that aren't true, you can dispute that. Or another thing too is that you can, if you know that you haven't been late on any payments and the credit card companies, which sometimes they do mess up, and this does drive your credit score down, but if they do have you late or something for a payment, that dings your credit as well. So just make sure that you're checking for accuracies first on your credit report, right? And the second thing, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, the second thing I did was I looked at all of my balances and I said, this is the highest these balances are going to get. So I created my own spreadsheet online, on Google Spreadsheets, and I got really in depth with it. Like I put, you know, my credit limit of each credit card, the amount that I owe, the percentage of the credit card, and I put those all in a spreadsheet. And so it showed me all of the actual amount of credit that I have total, right? And then what was available, and then how you find debt, that, you know, the debt percentage that you're in, which also affects your credit significantly, is by, you know, dividing what you owe by what you have available. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge reality check.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if you have really high credit, doesn't mean that your ratio is low, you know? So once I did that, I was like, all right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to face reality. And, you know, once I did all the numbers and in the actual Excel spreadsheet showed me what my total amount of debt was, I almost passed out. It's like, but okay, we're going to tackle this one step at a time, right? So I started researching different opportunities and things that I could teach myself. I'm a big self-learner. If I don't do it myself, it's just not going to happen. So I went online, I researched this this technique called the snowball effect. And it helped me like get back on track with all of my debt. So essentially what you do is you take all of your debt and you line it up, right? So from the highest to the lowest amount of what you owe for each credit card or, you know, loan or whatever. And then you put in what their minimum payment is for each one of these cards, right? Mm-hmm. And what you're going to do is you're going to start from the bottom up. So you're going to start with your credit cards that have the least amount of debt. I mean, the least amount of amounts due, period, right? So like, let's say you have a credit card that you have three credit cards, for example, one that you owe $500, the other one that you owe $1,000, whatever, the other one that you owe $5,000. So what you're going to do is you'll pay minimum payments on the $5,000 one, minimum payments on the $1,500 one, and then you're going to pay the highest amount that you can monthly on the $500 one. Because what this does is it allows for you to, one, pay off debt a little bit faster. And I know people are probably like, but what about the interest rates that are hitting the larger accounts? Don't worry about the interest rate at this point. Your number one concern is to pay the money down, not the interest rate, right? So the thing you want to do is, what happens is when you pay, let's say you have the availability $500 a month on your credit cards. And it's a very high amount, but for some people it's a lot higher, you know? So like, you know that your $5,000 a month minimum payment is $78. The $1,500 one is like $50. The remaining amount of the $500 that you have in your budget has to be paid to that other credit card. And there's no going out to dinner. There's no, oh, I have extra money, I'm gonna go ahead and buy this thing that I don't need, this dress. No, you're not allowed to reward yourself at all during this process. Whenever I would pay one debt down all the way, then I would allow myself to do something small. Like, even if it's like, okay, today I'm gonna go out to dinner, but I still wouldn't splurge. Like, I would find ways to like cut corners, because obviously splurging is what's got me in this position in the first place, right?
Right, exactly. And see, that's the key. Like, once you start paying off debt, and that's why I love the snowball method. That's the same way I've paid off some of my student loans. To date, I've paid off almost $20,000 in student loans, and that's how, because it's psychological. So you get that first small win and you're like, like, yes, I got this. And then you get that next win and it just becomes addicting. At least to me, it did.
Right. It does. Cause you're like, wow, you know, I'm paying this off like one by one. And so, mm-hmm. and there's other, obviously other techniques to it too, right? Like if you've had late payments on stuff, on your credit, I don't advise touching things that are later than 2 years on your credit, but because it'll just reopen it up. And if you make a mistake on something at that point, then it's a really, like, it's almost like a more severe issue than it is to just wait it to fall off of your credit. But like you start paying these things down. And like you said, it really is like, it's awesome to look at a statement and see $0 that you owe, you know, and you're just like, wow, if I can do that, if I can pay off $500 in like 2 months, because versus you just paying the minimum payment or a little bit more above the minimum payment, it's like, okay, well, all right. Now what you do is you take that amount that you were paying on the $500, right? The total $500. Once you eliminate the first debt, you take that money that you were paying at on that one credit card that you no longer have, and you move it up to the next lowest debt and you start paying that one off. And so that plus the minimum payment that you were paying before is obviously going to be almost 3-4 times as high as what you were paying before when you were just tackling the minimum payment for that credit card. So within a year, like I said, my snowball was about, I started off at like $600 a month, but I got so energized because I was seeing like how awesome it was to feel like, man, I'm paying this debt off, that I ended up cutting out so much of just like lowering my cell phone bill, like lowering, making sure I wasn't using that much more electricity, mm-hmm. making sure that I, like Netflix, I think was gone for a little while there, maybe even like cutting some parts of the cable. I didn't cut internet just because I thought that was just going to be like too much, but like, you know, I could do it. And I'm telling you, if I was on a very restricted budget and I could do it, I promise you that you could do it too. Like it's basically just making sure that you're finding the things that you can to cut corners with. And even if your snowball isn't that high, even if it's just like $200, $300, is really trying to figure out, one, put all of your debt together. Cause I think that's one of the hardest things for people is to actually see what they did, you know, and right. be like, oh, right. I got in this hole, you know, but put it together and it's good for you, you know? And like, so every month on the spreadsheet, I would go back in and I would adjust the amounts of the amount due that I had on each one of these, on each one of these credit cards. So I could start to see the percentages go down, right? So like my debt percentage was starting to go down, down, down. Mm-hmm. And so by the end of the year, I had paid off all $15,000 that I owed. Now the interest obviously ate me up a little bit, but because I was able to do it in less than a year, the amount of interest that I would have, that I saved over paying it, let's say minimum payments over 5 years, was almost about that 25% of the interest rate that I was paying on the credit card. So I ended up winning on that end. So I think people, like, don't be too concerned about the interest rate at the time that you're paying everything off if you're going to use the snowball method, because it does work itself out.
Mm-hmm. And just do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just literally the number one thing. Just right. do it. Just once you get that momentum in, honestly, I truly do believe that just do it is probably one of the most important lessons in life you're going to learn, period, in anything that you ever do. The only way you ever learn is by actually putting yourself in motion and doing it.
Right, exactly. So Rita, thank you so much for coming. This was awesome. Some very good financial gems were dropped, and I appreciate your honesty and your transparency and your openness to talk about this difficult topic for some. Now, one more question I have for you before we wrap it up. What is one piece of advice you would give my listeners? It doesn't have to do with money. It can be anything. One single piece of advice. What do you got?
So obviously I started the Empowerment and All That podcast, which is my audience is essentially for women, but my goal at my core is to ensure that I am empowering people regularly. And empowerment doesn't necessarily mean that I'm above anybody else. It's really just sharing the knowledge and the tools that I have with other people so that they can also learn either from my mistakes and pick up some of those tips and use them on their own, or be able to just talk about just these different topics that could help other people, you know? So for me, what I would tell everyone who's listening is like, look, if you have a piece of knowledge that you know somebody else can use to their advantage, and I don't mean go preach to someone, I'm just saying like, share the wealth, share the knowledge, give people the little tidbits that might be able to help them in moments of need, in moments of where they're feeling vulnerable. Like, you know, we all have this information for a reason. We all go to school and we learn, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. But what if people don't understand that? Like, and it's your duty as just being a human being to be able to help others. So like, yeah, just make sure you're empowering the next person.
Absolutely. That is perfect. And that is a wonderful way to wrap up this podcast. Just give back, everybody. It's the least you can do. Well, Thank you so much, Rita. And I look forward to having you again on the Money Talk with Tiff podcast. If you're interested in hearing more from Rita, all of her contact information will be in the show notes, so you can keep in contact. I hope you have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Money Talk with Tiff podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to moneytalkwitht.com. And while you're there, why not sign up for our newsletter so you'll never miss an episode? Talk to you soon.